Okay, reading from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land and the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you. According to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle, the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For upon us as a child is born, upon us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Thanks be to God for his word. Let's ask for the Spirit's help as we explore his word. Father, we do ask you right now, Lord, that as we have your word open in our lap, that your Spirit would be so gracious as to open up our understanding. Help us to see, Lord, beautiful and wonderful things that you have for us today. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, I hope that you will keep your Bible open while we listen today. I want to rewind back to 700 or 750 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. It's bad times, a bad king. The Assyrians and the Arameans are helping themselves to Israelite territory. David's once glorious kingdom has long since been split into two parts. Both parts are now unfaithful to the God who so graciously had brought their ancestors out of Egyptian slavery and had settled them in a land which they did nothing to prepare for. The land was ready made for them, and here they live, and now both nations, Judah and Israel, have turned their hearts away from the Lord. And so the Lord, as he tends to do, allows these hostile neighbors to have their way with his people, not to mention that the tribes are divided against each other. The reason that the people are walking in darkness and sitting in the land of the shadow of death in the first place is because of the divine retribution against their own disobedience and sin. Okay, bad times. This is the setting into which this prophecy is spoken. In those bad times, in times of divine discipline, times of sorrow, God raises up his prophet to relay words of correction to his people. They're words of hope, they're words of promise, they're words of a glorious future, and they are words which hang on a condition. The condition is, return to me, and I will return to you. It's always that way. Understand, it is always that way in every prophet, from the first one to the last one. Rend your heart. Okay, tear your heart, shred your heart. Not, okay, don't worry, don't tear your garments. You know how the Israelites would tear their garments in sorrow. Well, I don't want that, okay? Tear your heart. Return to the Lord your God. He is gracious, he is merciful, he is slow to anger, he is abundant in blessing and mercy, and he will relent from this calamity. He will restore. Okay, that's the prophet Joel. Hosea says this, O Israel, return to the Lord your God. You have stumbled in your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to him, take away our guilt. Receive us graciously and we will offer you sacrifices of our lips. And Assyria will no longer be our hope for deliverance. We won't trust in horses. We'll never say again to the work of our hands, you are our gods. In you alone, Jehovah, the orphan, the weak, the widow, finds mercy. Okay, that's the condition. Return to the Lord. That's the condition. The promise is this. Also Hosea, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from them, and I will be like dew upon Israel. Israel will grow like the lily. It will strengthen its roots like a cedar of Lebanon. Its branches shall spread out, and its beauty shall be like an olive tree, and its fragrance like the heights of Lebanon. Okay, that's Hosea. In bad times, thrilling promises. Likewise, right here, what our brother just read from Isaiah, promises. If you have your Bible, maybe we can count the promises. There are at least five in verses 2 through 5. And I wonder, my dear friends, anxious people, sorrowful people, straying people, I wonder if these promises sound good to you this morning. Number one, light will begin to shine on those dwelling in darkness. Okay, that's verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Okay, Isaiah writes in the past tense, but it's a promise for the future. Illumination is a promise from God. Okay, it is the end. Illumination is the end of things being concealed in the dark. Illumination is the end of night terrors. Illumination means awareness. It means understanding. The light brings clarity. It brings knowledge. It brings certainty. Okay? God makes this promise to his people. Jeremiah has it like this. In those days, no longer will a man have to teach his neighbor or teach his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. I will put my law in them, and I'll write it on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. The psalmist says, open my eyes so that I may see wondrous things out of your law. Wouldn't it be, friends, a tremendous blessing to know the mind of God, to know the mysteries of God, to know God himself, and to know that you know. Light will shine. It's a promise made to people in hard times. Light will shine. Number two promise. See verse 3. Isaiah says, you have multiplied the nation. Okay, again, written in past tense, but really he's looking into the future. He's looking into the future at what God says he will do. What had been a poor, shabby remnant, the leftovers and the returnees from the captivity of war, okay, the widows and the orphans and the cast-offs from the nations, barely enough people left to fill a single city, poor, humiliated Jerusalem. Okay, the prophet summons the city to stretch out the place of your tents, prepare to expand to the right and to the left. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Don't spare the ropes. Don't spare the fabric. Strengthen your stakes. Jerusalem, he says, your descendants will inherit the nations, and the desolate cities will be inhabited again, and the land of your destruction will be in that day too small for all its inhabitants. And like what we read earlier, the Gentiles shall bring home your sons in their arms and carry home your daughters on their shoulders. They will come from afar, from the north and the west, and look up, Jerusalem, and see how they gather together and come to you. And they shall neither hunger nor thirst, nor heat nor sun shall strike them, for the merciful one shall lead them and guide them to springs of water. And you have increased the nation, O Lord. You are glorified. You have expanded all the borders of the land. Okay? A promise made to a lowly people in hard and troublesome times. Okay? That was number two. Number three promise. Joy. Also verse 3. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you like the joy at harvest time, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Okay, so two images there for you to try to picture harvest time. Okay, the fall, the harvest is in, right? The work is all done. And now it's time to eat. Okay, a time of rejoicing. The heat of summer is behind us. Now it's time to rest and enjoy the abundance of all of our efforts and all of our patience and our waiting. Zechariah says, joy, gladness, and cheerful feasts. Okay, that's how he describes the future. That is quite a promise to a people in hard times. Joy, he says, as when men divide the plunder, the spoil. Okay, think about this, the end of a battle, right? The fighting is over. The weapons have been laid down. The enemy has been sent packing. The threat has evaporated. It's no more. There's now safety for our wives and children. It's time to go home and enjoy our victory and enjoy our new treasures. Okay, that kind of joy, a celebration and peace. Okay, these are that's a promise made. Okay, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy, a joy like when there is nothing left to do but to enjoy what God has done for us. Number four promise. It's verse 4. The power of your oppressors broken. Shackles struck from your ankles. Burdens lifted off of your back. The slave driver's stick that was striking you broken. The yoke that was on your neck taken off and snapped in half. The whip thrown into the fire. The tax man's bill torn up to confetti. Okay, he says, as in the day of Midian. Does anybody know what that means? As in the day of Midian? Okay, you have to think back to your Sunday school class and think back to your old friend in the book of Judges, a fellow by the name of Gideon. I'll read you a little bit of what Judges says so that you can picture what is this release. Judges chapter 6 says this, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, okay, which they did again here in Isaiah. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Okay, was the Lord in control of that situation? Most certainly. Okay, it was because of the Midianites that the children of Israel made for themselves dens and caves and strongholds in the mountains. Okay, because they're afraid and they have to flee. And whenever Israel sowed crops, the Midianites came up. And Amalekites and the people of the east also came against them and encamped against them and destroyed the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, leaving nothing for Israel, not sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. They would come with their livestock and their tents as numerous as locusts, they and their camels without number, and entered the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and they cried out to the Lord. Okay, here's Isaiah. Even to him, this is ancient history. Okay, here's Isaiah looking back on that bit of history. And do you remember how Gideon and his 300, his little band of 300 men, routed the 10,000s of Midianites and sent them packing, and they killed their princes and their kings and their captains. And okay, they drove their plunderers and robbers out of Israel. And Judges says, so the Midianites didn't lift up their heads anymore in the land of Israel ever again. Okay, God gave them a resounding victory, a smashing victory, okay, a supernatural victory. Okay, remember the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Sudden release from terrible oppression, a complete rout. Okay, and the Bible says that they had rest in Israel for 40 years. Okay, here's a promise, another promise made, a day of final and perfect freedom. Okay? So God making promises here through the prophet Isaiah, as in the day of Midian. Yes, a victory like that. A victory where they will your enemy will never again raise up his head. And the fifth promise that I counted anyway, in verse 5, the end of war. The end of war. Okay, the scripture says about our Lord that he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two, and he burns the chariot in the fire. Now that, friends, that is a promise. The scriptures foretell a day in Israel when for 7 years there will be no need to cut down a tree or cut a branch off a tree to make a fire, because they will be burning the weapons of war for 7 years. The shields and bucklers, bows and arrows, javelins and spears, it says, they will study war no more. Okay, there's going to be no military academies, there's going to be no air force, there's going to be no army. I'm going to lay down my sword and shield. Down by the, you know that song? Down by the river. Okay, now that is nearly the whole history of God's chosen people. It has been a war for very survival. Okay, it has been a war for existence. Terror on every side. It has been since the nation was conceived. Always watchmen on the walls. Always vigilance. Always preparations. Always defenses. God says here, every warrior's boot, the uniforms rolled in blood, are going to be used as fuel for the fire. No more need for any of that. Great and precious promises. How, pray tell, how is God going to accomplish them all? Okay, now you look. All of these good things that we just heard about, they are effects. What's the cause? Where does the light come from? How is the nation enlarged? Why is there joy and liberty and a cessation of conflict? Okay, the cause, the source of that, is in a man, a child, a son, a man of destiny, okay? A man to whom God is going to give the throne of his father David, and he will bear the authority and power and dominion, it says, henceforth and forever, of his kingdom there will be no end. He it is who will shed the light. He it is who will restore Israel and cause her children to be gathered in from the far corners of the globe. He it is who will put an end to the cruelty of oppression and an end to war. Okay, he will put laughter in our mouths and a song in our heart. Judgment and justice, righteousness, peace, safety. Okay, joy, gladness, and cheerful feast is what Zechariah says. From that time forth and forever, because to us a child is born. Okay, because this son is given. Given. He's given, right? Did we earn him?
No.
A grant from God. He is a gracious gift from God. Okay. Do you see, my friends, especially if you're visiting, okay, do you see how these things will never, ever come to pass just through the efforts of man, just through human efforts, human organizations, human social engineering, more government spending, more 10-year plans, more peace treaties, more UN resolutions, more infrastructure? Okay, no. Peace on earth is and will be a gift granted by God, not built by man like some modern Tower of Babel. Okay? It is a gift that lies within the sovereign power of God to give to us, and he has promised to give it to us, and he has said he will give it to us through his chosen one, his son Jesus Christ, the anointed one, David's heir. Okay, and the heir, in fact, of all things, the Bible says. Now, we today who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have already the first deposit of these promises. Okay, so there were five promises. Light was the first. I have come, a light into the world. Yes, he sure did. And that is what we celebrate today. Okay, and because Jesus came, we who are Christ's, we know the Father, we know his Son. Okay, that's the commission, right? I send you to the Gentiles to do what? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Okay, upon us, my brothers and sisters, my Christian brothers and sisters, upon us, light has dawned. Through Christ, we know and we believe in God, Peter says. Okay, you who aren't Christ's, he invites you, come to me. come to me and you will know the truth. Okay, light will dawn on you and the truth, it will make you free. Okay, we have some of that already. We have a down payment. The number two promise was you have multiplied the nation. Okay, now this is one of the wonderful mysteries of God, that Israel isn't even aware of this yet, but millions of citizens have been joined to their commonwealth by faith in their king, the son of David. Okay, Christian brothers and sisters, even if you're Gentiles, if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's descendants and you are the heirs according to what God promised him. Okay, that's Galatians. Christ is coming again in large part to save Israel. And all of a sudden, you see it in Isaiah time and time again, all of a sudden Israel awakens to the, you know, she'll realize how many children she in fact has, who once was desolate and barren and under the chastisement of God. And the prophet says, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her, if you love her. Rejoice with joy for her, all you who mourn for her, for you will feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom. You will drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory, speaking of Jerusalem. For the Lord says, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. And you shall feed, and on her sides, or like her hip, you know, the way a mother carries a child, on her sides you shall be carried, and dandled, you'll be dandled on her knees, you know, the way mommy bounces the baby on her knee. Okay, as a mother comforts a child, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is going to say, where did all these children come from? Who bore me these? Where am I going to find room for them all? Okay, the Gentiles will come to your glory, the scripture says. That is being fulfilled right now in you and me as we, one at a time, one by one, put our faith in the King of Israel and we gain citizenship in the New Jerusalem. Okay, a people from every tribe, nation, and tongue being fitted out for the kingdom of God. Okay, that's happening right now. Number three promise is joy. Christians whose faith is strong are full of joy. You can see it in their faces. You can hear it in their words of adoration and praise to the Lord Jesus for many tender mercies. You can see it in how they marvel at God's incredible creation and how they give thanks for simple little things like a cup of coffee, a piece of cake, a turkey sandwich, a good friendship. Okay, you can see joy. You know what? You can even see joy in their sickness. You can even see joy at their funerals. It is a joy that no one can take away. That is ours already, Christians. And we're not even there yet, okay? It's just a promise being kept. It's the down payment of the fullness of a promise. It's glad tidings of great joy. And that's just now, okay? How much greater it will be when death is swallowed up in victory and we will forever be with our Lord Jesus Christ and all that remains is life, life without end. Amen. Number four promise, the shackles are broken off. Is that so for you? The rod of our oppressor taken away and smashed in pieces, okay? The scripture says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How do you like the feel of that? Do you feel free? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ has set us free from the power of sin, from the power of the devil. He has taken our burden away. We are no longer slaves. We are sons and daughters of God. We no longer have to cower in fear. We can be bold and mighty to pull down strongholds. Okay, we have been restored in the spirit of, scripture says, power, love, and a sound mind. And promise number five, the end of war. Well, the war goes on, doesn't it? We still have to soldier on for the present. We have to endure hardship. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. But we have at least this peace. We have made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says, whereas you once were enemies in your carnal minds, now you have found peace through the Prince of Peace. Okay, again, I speak to you, I speak to those of you who have found that peace, because some of you are still at odds with God. Some of you are still at odds with God, and that is why your struggles and your misery continues. He himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our peace. He has made hostility to cease. He has turned aside the jealous retribution of our God against our trespasses and sins. He did that by sacrificing his life, by sacrificing his body for us. The Spirit of God calls you. Let us have peace with God. Let us entrust ourselves to a faithful Father who uses our life's difficulties and our sorrows to refine us and to ready us for the day when truly war will be a thing of the past and we will have a new world where righteousness dwells. Okay, five promises. Promises that were given in bad times. Promises that were given to a stubborn people. Promises that we see even now hurrying towards their conclusion. Okay, those are the promises. The promises, as I said, come with a condition, and the condition still holds, same as it ever did. And this is the important thing you need to take away today. It's return to me. Shred your heart. Open your heart to me, and I will pour out on you such a blessing. Such a blessing. Unto us a child has been born, us. Unto us a son has been given. Okay, the angel said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Unto you, the most wonderful counselor, wisdom, instruction, illumination, understanding, intimate friendship with the true and living God. Okay, he himself is the mighty God. He is the eternal Son. He is from everlasting. The Creed says about the Lord Jesus, he is begotten, not created. He is very God of very God. He is our Creator. He is the one who sustains our being. And he will endure forever. He is Alpha and Omega, first and the last. All power and authority belongs to him. He will cause wars to cease to the ends of the earth by righteousness and justice. He will accomplish it. Be reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, some of you know that like you know the back of your hand. Okay, you know it like you know your own name. Some of you, I know you hear my voice, but you don't believe it. And some of you, and I don't know how this happens, some of you wander off mentally as if this is no more interesting than reading out of the dictionary. Hear the word of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. We are already halfway there. We're way past halfway there. Mary, call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule the globe. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You must come to terms with the Lord Jesus Christ. Good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. All people. You are not excluded unless you exclude yourself. Unto you a child is born. He will be Lord of all. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your chance. Don't waste another day. Repent and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped away. And all these promises of God, this is just five in a few verses of the Bible. The Bible is loaded with the promises of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them will be yours. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. I will give them a name better than sons and daughters. To him who overcomes, who keeps my word to the end, I will give him power over the nations, even as I received from my Father. Power, dominion, and authority be unto him, our Lord. Born in Bethlehem, crucified in Jerusalem, now seated in the heavens, coming again to earth to order and establish his kingdom henceforth and forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, marvelous King, a King to come, King of my heart. And I know I have brothers and sisters here, Lord, who belong to you, heart and soul. And we rejoice, Lord, before you, for you indeed have increased our joy. You have given us a name better than sons and daughters. You've given us promises for eternal life, promises better than anything that we could hope to have or receive in this world. Everybody's going to be getting gifts today, gifts tomorrow, maybe gifts the next day. Shall we esteem the passing and rusting gifts of this world higher than we would esteem the perfect and eternal gift that you offer us and your Son? Lord God, be forever praised. Please, Lord, make us penitent, cheerful, obedient, loving, honest, and true. I thank you, Father, for this house of yours where we can sit and be gathered and sing and study and learn and grow and find mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful mercy toward us all. Glorify your name higher than the heavens, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.